Hello, I'm Stephen Goodwin. It's Tuesday, December the 16th, 2008, and welcome to episode number 29 of The Beer Crate, a podcast for ale lovers the world over. Each week, we'll be looking at the world of beer and brewing, investigating local, national, and international breweries, and of course, tasting a wide selection of beers, ales, and ciders. Lager boys may apply. Coming up on today's show, we have our Preconceptions edition. After the news and drinkers' diary, we have a quick tasting featuring a stout in a can, an interview with a brewer of lager, and a try before you die of caked beer. So, if you haven't switched off, let's get cracking. News and Hobgoblin succeeded in their usage of the phrase unofficial beer of Halloween to increase sales by nearly 50% over the same time last year. As well as the in-pub promotions, stay-at-home drinkers could enjoy the fact the bottle got a redesign. On the flip side, Canes are still having a bad year. After going into administration in August and being bought by its original owners, Canes beers are no longer being supplied to the pubs managed by beer giant Scottish & Newcastle. They're still available through other outlets, however, so hopefully Punter Power will get Canes reinstated into the S&M pubs. Drinker's Diary. And in the run-up to Christmas, every night is party night, so there's no room for our beloved beer festivals. We shall, however, mention two that are taking place in the new year. The first is the 8th Derby 12th Night Winter Beer Festival, which takes place between Thursday the 8th and Saturday the 10th of January. This is in the Assembly Rooms Marketplace, Derby, and comes complete with the usual selection of real ales, ciders, perries and continental beers. Also kick-starting the new year is the 20th Exeter Festival of Winter Ales on Friday the 9th and Saturday the 10th of January. The doors of Lower Exhibition Hall, Exeter University, open at 11 a.m. for the tasting of 60 winter-only brews. This week, we have the first of our two-part interview with Mike Knight from the Freedom Brewery. Freedom was Britain's first ever microbrewed lager back in 1995, and has breweries in both Abbots Bromley and London. The beer is organic, vegan-friendly, and rather good. Mike Knight, welcome to the Beer Crate.
Hello.
To my mind, there's two infamous jobs in the brewing industry. Beer tasting is probably the most desirable, but beer sales must be the easiest. Isn't it just a case of saying, here's some nice beer, drink it?
It is. I mean, it is. It's a fantastic job. You're going around meeting bar owners all over London and usually getting free beers once you've sold the beer into that into that establishment, because part of the job is also, once you're into a bar, is maintaining that relationship. And I think this industry is all about relationships. Yeah, if you don't get on with the people that you're selling to, it doesn't work. Particularly for a company like us, I mean, we're at the moment a small company, fairly unknown, so we need to give a good service. And we need to be there, we need to be visible. The face of Freedom, and they want to see you coming around. In terms of initially getting into a bar, I mean, quite often people will approach us from whatever reason. I think part of the thing is to make yourself an attractive proposition. I've gone cold calling, and it's worked. You just go to a place and say, yeah, will you buy our beer, try it, and they love it, and they will buy it. But it's not that simple. Quite often people will love the beer, but there's all kinds of reasons why they cannot take the beer. You need to create a climate of word of mouth or articles in magazines, articles in papers, just general being out there, meeting people, you know, going to bars and meeting someone who knows someone who knows someone, etc. Then they will come to you and say, well, let's try the beer. Now, if someone's coming to you to try the beer, then you're in a much stronger position rather than, you know, this is Mike Knight, can you try our beer? But having said that, you know, I have been in that cold call situation, and people like the beer, they like the branding, they like the concept.
Which is?
You know, we're an organic beer, we're a vegan beer, we tick all the boxes. And so that does help a hell of a lot.
So are you selling primarily to pubs? Because I'm sure I've seen the Freedom beer in Waitrose.
Yeah, the supermarkets are a part of our business, a small part. Yeah, Waitrose, Able and Cole. I mean, bars, yeah, we sell to a lot of bars, we sell to a lot of restaurants. a lot of delis. We were looking outside of the normal pub, if you like. With a brewery like us, a small brewery like us, we have problems with ties, etc., and a lot of bars actually cannot take us. They're just not allowed to, basically the political reasons. So, you know, we will never, say for example London, we'll never be in loads of bars in London because of that reason. So we have to look around pubs and bars, and I think the organic thing has really helped, particularly with delis, with restaurants. The vegan, yeah, we don't really push the vegan aspect. It's great that we're a vegan beer, and hopefully people will see the vegan aspect as almost a sign of purity. It's just another point of difference. But yeah, having said that, a vegan beer isn't different. It's absolutely no different to any other beer.
That'll be the Isling glass, I take it.
Exactly, yeah. We don't use a fish product for filtration, but in every other aspect. Even the organic, people say, well, is it a proper beer because it's organic? I had a guy came up to us, we were doing a show once, and he came up, and I said, which beer do you want? He said, oh, I'll have the organic because I'm on a diet. And that is just like ridiculous. I'd like to think that organic is less fattening, but actually it's not. The only difference with organic is all the ingredients are organically certified. It's made in exactly the same way.
So what are the factors involved in organic beer as a brew compared to organic as a marketing strategy?
Well, I can't pretend that that organic as a marketing strategy hasn't helped, because it has. But that's not the main thing about being organic. It's the fact that if you're organic, you are regulated much more strictly in terms of additives, colorings, and this soil association will come to our brewery once a year and make a very rigorous check on everything. So we have to really be on our toes to make sure that everything is in order. And maybe in a way it's the organic is there, and that's fantastic, but we've got one non-organic beer, the Pilsner. But I would say about that, I think the main thing about us is there's no additives, there's no colourings, no chemicals, no GM, no nasty stuff, etc., etc. And to me, that is the most important thing, the fact that two of our beers are organically certified. And in fact, the brewery has to be checked once a year, as I said, by the Soil Association. But that's the same brewery that produces the Pilsner, which is not organic. But it's still produced under the same strict regulations.
What is it that the Soil Association looks for?
Yeah, a lot of it is the fact that the ingredients have to be grown by a producer that is organically certified. And each year they will be, our malt producer will be checked once a year, our yeast producers, our barley producers. Yeah, everyone has to be checked by, and has to be accredited by the Soil Association or an equivalent.
So this applies to the ingredients as well as the processing plant?
To absolutely everything.
That must make it difficult to set up a microbrewery.
Yeah, and as you say, all the producers have to be checked, but the brewery also has to fall within the Soil Association's remit.
It sounds like a lot of work. How long did it take to get accreditation?
Well, we took over 4 years ago, so I cannot comment too much on what happened before then. But certainly since we took over, it's been organic and accreditations all the way. I think it's like anything, once you're there, once you've got the accreditation and you know what they're looking for, they will give a report, and if there's any minor things they're not happy with, they will comment that this should be done, that should be done. So as the years go by, you get to know what they're looking for, and you make sure that you actually comply with everything that they're looking for. And happily, the last couple of years, we've had absolutely no problems with Soil Association. They've been totally happy with what we're doing.
And we'll return to Mike next week. Quick tastings. In this section, we give a brief yet discriminating summary of a number of different beers from around the world. All have been personally tasted and graded. Naturally, everyone has different tastes, and these are mine, so your mileage may vary. Typhoon from the Hopback Brewery. This is a 4.2% light ale, which presents a correspondingly light golden colour to the eye, with a soft foam head and delicate taste to the tongue. Its primary tang is from lemongrass, making it good for noodle and rice dishes, such as mild curries. Anything stronger than mild, however, would destroy the taste. There's a slight fruitiness here as well, but nothing that would conflict with any of the aforementioned food. If you're lucky, you'll also get soft cream and mixed hop taste in there as well. It's definitely a beer to which you should pay attention when drinking solo, but definitely better appreciated when used in combination with food. 8 out of 10. Sweetheart Stout from Tennant Caledonian Breweries. This beer is thin and very unstout-like, so certainly something to strike you as unconventional. It pours with the consistency of cola, but less fizz and at 2%, yes, you heard me right, 2% alcohol makes this a very easy drinker. The aroma is spicy and sweet, somewhere between cinnamon and aniseed, which follows in the taste. This consequently holds well, but the spices may put you off if your palate is not that way inclined. It's also high in iron, similar to milk stout, making it one of the healthier beers around. I give this 7.5 out of 10. Alligator Ale from Ascot Ales. Alligator is a US-style single hop beer using Cascade hops to produce a light, refreshing rounded taste and citrus cum meadow aroma. It's light but with a slightly bitter taste and pleasant if shallow aftertaste, with a quickly dissipating fizz. Definitely on the list of session beers, it's 4.6% and scores 7.5 out of 10. Old Bloomer from Concrete Cow. This is a light ruby ale in colour, but desires to be put under the best bitter category. It's 4.7% and is slightly sharp and has overriding hazelnut flavours throughout and a strong pungent aroma to match. It is a vibrant fizzy ale which settles down in the aftertaste. It's very famous in Milton Keynes along with its Concrete Cow namesakes, so if you're from there or you like hazelnut, you'll probably award this more than the 5 out of 10 that I can. Try before you die. In this section of the show, we will cast a discerning eye over the best beers that this world has to offer. We shall mention its history, the brewery behind the beer, and why we feel this is a superior brew worthy of your attention. This week, Spindrift from Adnams. This is a 5% beer that blurs the line between ale and lager. It has the taste, aroma, and depth of a solid top fermented ale, which it is, despite being cold-filtered and serves at a temperature guaranteed to stop any additional fermentation. That said, the ultimate taste is not dissimilar to a Leffe Blonde, making it a very good substitute for either real ale or Leffe. And yes, it's a keg beer. When this beer was announced, a camera spokesman said it was immensely disappointing, but who cares what they think? The beer is good, and it's what the punters think that counts, and they seem to agree it's a good beer. Real ale zealots will complain about the slide of Adnams as a brewery, but in reality this is just one of their many beers, and one that's available in some pubs unable or unwilling to keep a decent quality cellar. Its uptake has been impressive, given the first kegs were rolled out in late 2006, and it now sits alongside the other more famous Adnams beer, of Broadside, Explorer, East Green, Lighthouse and Gunhill. As with everything this week, unconventional is the key word, so definitely try before you die. Okay, that wraps it up for this week. To give us a tasting of your opinions, you can email us on thebeercrate@gmail.com. If you prefix the subject line with two colons, you can be sure to avoid the spam filters. Remember to enjoy everything from the Beer Crate safely and responsibly, so you can be back here with us next week. Until then, cheers. This podcast has been released under the Creative Commons Attribution, No Commercial, No Derivatives version. See www.thebeercrate.com for details.